Personal injury of any sort, it's a big deal. And injury attorney David Femininio has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is dedicated to ensuring you get the care you need and get your life back on track. So when you're injured, make one phone call to David Femininio, 855-65-CRASH, or go to that website, getdavidgetpaid.com. Get your life back on track. getdavidgetpaid.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Lions got to chase down the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. You know what you're trying to accomplish. See how you stack up. John, I want to do a side-by-side with Philadelphia, position by position. And I want people to be honest. Take off the Honolulu blue glasses. Because I think this might be a sobering exercise to set the tone for the offseason. Sound good?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's start with general manager. Who's got the edge, Philly or Detroit?
Philly.
Okay. And it's no knock on Brad Holmes, who's executive of the year, but Howie Roseman's done it better.
He's done it better. He's done it longer. He's had more experience. He's had more opportunity to be right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a very important offseason for Brad Holmes. One, we talk about Myles Garrett. We talk about the edge rusher. What's he going to do there? How is he going to continue to, quote-unquote, water the garden? And what is he going to do with guys that he has drafted that maybe aren't the answer, like a Levi Onwuzurike? What's he going to do with him? Is he going to re-sign Carlton Davis, or is he going to let him walk? Like, there's a lot of really important decisions. And I mentioned Levi Onwuzurike because that was his first second-round pick.
Yeah.
And he's been hurt. We heard so much about his training camp and whether or not he was going to be a huge contributor. Oh, he could play all four spots up front. Taylor Decker mentioned him. Everybody mentioned him.
We didn't see it play out.
And we didn't see it play out.
No, and I look at Howie Roseman, who, again, has done a phenomenal job drafting and resetting this organization from one Super Bowl win to, oh, did I mention his second Super Bowl win? As great a job as Holmes has done resurrecting the Lions franchise, Howie Roseman is the gold standard. It's drafting, which he's done as well or better than Holmes, and it's moves like Barkley and A.J. Brown that he's gone out and made splashes to help that.
Free agency for Saquon Barkley, trade for A.J. Brown. It's Jahan Dotson. It's Mekhi Becton, who was a first-round pick for the Jets, and by all accounts, it sounded like that was going nowhere. He was able to salvage him. Okay. And put him down to guard. So it's being able to find diamonds in the rough in free agency, but also putting them with coaches that you believe can develop them. Tell me if I'm not talking about where we think the Detroit Lions are.
Yep, you're absolutely right. You mentioned coaching. Who's got the edge there? Again, we love Dan.
Yes.
Sirianni's a Super Bowl champ, and he's not making mistakes in game that he has to apologize at the podium afterwards for.
Yeah, but he also had an epic collapse last year.
And Dan had a pretty epic playoff exit this season.
Sure. And a loss in the NFC Championship game. It's hard to say. I mean, this one's tough.
You can call it a push if you want.
I want to call it a push, but why am I calling it a push? Because we're talking about a guy that took a team, hired two new coordinators. So you have to, by default, say Sirianni, but he has such a punchable face.
He does.
That I just, it's John, really hard for me to.
You even said it today. They win the Super Bowl. He's got his hat over his
eyes.
And you're like, this guy.
Yeah, I mean, you're so cool. No, you're not. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm going to have to say
Philly.
Super Bowl champ.
Philly. Okay, so head coach and GM. Quarterback. It's Jalen Hurts.
Yes. Although,
Jalen Hurts has played in two Super Bowls and played better in both Super Bowls than Goff did in his appearance.
One, yes.
And again, he is now a Super Bowl champion. If you were
on
the fence.
Are we just going to use that default for every position? Well, on the offensive line, they won a Super Bowl, so it's got to be Philly.
No, but
the
with defensive line,
they won a Super Bowl, it's got to be Philly.
Head coach and quarterback and GM are like positions we really do value the direct correlation to winning, right?
Oh, so did you just say you don't value the offensive line?
Yeah, John, that's what I said.
Yeah. Really?
That's not what I said. You're with me, though. It's Hurts, Goff. It's
yes.
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Okay, running back.
I'll say a slight edge.
Okay, that's fine. It doesn't have to be by a cavernous gap. Detroit is very much a Super Bowl contender, but we're seeing how they stack up. Running back.
See, this one's tough because we all know that the season that Saquon Barkley had, but when you look at, I mean, we talk about Jahmyr Gibbs and his 1,400 yards, David Montgomery. Now, because we're talking about the position.
Sure.
All right. As a position, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery ran for almost 2,200 yards.
How many did Barkley run for?
I don't know. You tell me.
Saquon Barkley last season ran for 2,000 yards.
Okay. So I'm going to say this is a push. Because of, now they're getting it from one player, and the Lions are getting it from two. But I also believe Jahmyr Gibbs, given more opportunity, and not splitting as much time, is as good as Saquon Barkley.
Okay, I'm still waiting for an area Detroit's better. I think we get that with the next position group, wide receiver, and it's only slight. But I think St. Brown is better than A.J. Brown. I think J-Mo more productive than even Devontae Smith was this year. I give a very slight edge to the Lions at receiver.
Yeah, I would as well. And it's really the depth of talent. Now, are we including LaPorta
in
this?
If you throw tight end, I think even more so than it's Detroit. Pass catchers are the Lions.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that.
O-line's a push.
O-line's a push, yeah. But you know what? O-line is a push if we're just talking about what we saw this past year. I think the Eagles are set moving into next year because we don't know what the Lions are going to do in free agency. We don't know what they're going to do in the draft. We believe we have something in Mahogany. Zeitler, while he plays, you know, we just don't know. So if we're just talking about where they stand after this past season, then sure, I'll say a push.
D-line, it's got to be Philly, right?
Yeah.
Watching them manhandle their way to a Super Bowl on Sunday. Linebackers. Bond had a great season for them. They found him as a diamond in the rough. N'Kobe Dean, when he was healthy, performed as one of the best linebackers in football. I gave a slight edge to Philly here.
I'm going to say a push in that one because when you look at what Alex Anzalone had done, Barnes in that early on this season, Jack Campbell, I thought, had a really good to almost terrific season as a second-year player. I'm gonna call that one a push.
Okay. Corner.
Oh, that goes to Philly.
Mm-hmm. And safety goes to Detroit.
Yes, yes.
I think those are pretty clear-cut. Yeah. Special teams, Detroit.
Yeah.
Kicker punter. Long snapper if you want. I know you don't like how tiny their long snapper is.
Yes.
But special teams, the edge goes to the Lions.
Yes. Yes. Raymond.
And Khalif Raymond on returns. But the key categories of head coach, GM, and quarterback, as well as D-line and even O-line is a push. Philly's got some big edges here in the head-to-head, which shows you the Lions have their work cut out for themselves.
Well, we talk about slight edge. We talk about, like, I'm not saying they're big edges. And so I don't, when you do this exercise, if you're just looking on the surface and saying, well, you know, okay, this one goes to the Lions, this one goes to Philly. Philly has more of those. However, I do believe that this offseason, it's very important for the Detroit Lions. This may be the most important offseason that Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell have had since they've been in Detroit. Because You've done everything but get to the Super Bowl. You did the NFC Championship game. You had an edge. You lost it in the second half. You had the number one seed, and you lost in your first opportunity in the playoffs. Why was that? And part of it is, yeah, okay, injuries. Now, as a general manager, you can't account for preseason, during the season, 13 injuries on one side of the ball. And I think Brad Holmes did as masterful a job as possible handling that situation and putting guys in position or giving guys to the coaching staff. But I do think moving forward, even with Hutch being healthy, he was an absolute terror weapon. Use whatever the descriptor you want. They have to address the rest of that defensive line. Now, Aleem McNeil, you're set. DJ Reader, I think he is good for another year.
Yeah, one more.
But what are you doing with opposite Aiden Hutchinson? I think that was highlighted early in the season, and it was certainly highlighted after Aiden Hutchinson got hurt because there's no one to fill the void. If Myles Garrett went down for Cleveland, if Max Crosby, as he did late in the season, went down for the Raiders, like, you're not going to have another one of those guys to put in there and fill that void. But we had no one to pick up any slack.
So I think this is a healthy exercise. And we'll ask you guys, as Lions fans, where are the Lions definitely better than the Eagles? I think it could be a sobering exercise. It's a comparison. You're trying to win a Super Bowl. You stack yourself up against the best. And we gave you what we think. You guys can fill in the blanks yourself. John, we spent a lot of time talking about Myles Garrett. It's the obvious. Yes, go at a premium pass rusher, whether it's Garrett or Parsons or Crosby, if he's any of these guys. But it's not the only thing the Lions have to get better at. And I think that's what this exercise shows. So we'll talk about that a little more coming up next. It's 97.1.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster.
and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
97.1 The Ticket. So now it's on to the 2025 NFL season. The combine starts 2 weeks from today. A month from today, free agency begins. So let's get right down to it. You know, the Lions are well into the draft preparation process. You know that they have probably had those meetings regarding budgeting and which players they want to bring back, which ones they want to let walk. I saw a story out of New York this weekend. I apologize. I can't remember where it was from. About how belief that the Jets are going to pursue the highly talented Levi Onwuzurike. They'd like to bring him in. To which I say, best of luck. But Aaron Glenn's probably got a few of his guys that he's going to want to go after.
Oh, without question. And obviously he has the familiarity there. But there's some guys you want to keep the band together for, and Onwuzurike is just not one of those guys. I don't think it just hasn't worked out like we had hoped it would. He's been hurt the majority of the time, the vast majority of the time. And yeah, I don't have a problem saying good luck. Just not against the Lions, but good luck. But they don't need to bring him back.
Nope. They really don't.
But what they need to do, they need to see something from Broderick Martin that shows that was a wise pick to make. They need to see growth from other players. You know, they need Pascal to stay healthy and show that there's growth there, and other players are very similar to that.
Yeah, I mean, there's some guys that they have in the mix that you're like, all right, what do you really have in Mekhi Wingo?
Yeah.
Are you going to be a guy?
That was the name I was thinking of.
Or not going to be a guy? What do they really have? The Broderick Martin one's fascinating, but, you know, is John Kaminsky part of this team's future moving forward?
You know, probably not. I wouldn't imagine.
Did El Quadi Muhammad do enough to be a depth guy? I think he did. Probably the biggest high ticket item that they have to decide on is Carlton Davis. And once they make that decision of what their ceiling is to pay him, I mean, if he's not available, there are other guys out there that you can add to this defense that, you know, are maybe even better. Rasul Douglas, DJ Reed, just to name a couple of possibilities. But all those conversations, those decisions probably being made in the days and weeks here that precede the free agency, which again is a month from today. And then you get into like combine 2 weeks from today, which for the Lions, we can sit here and we can, I think many people look at the combine and kind of scoff at it. Based upon what we know about the Lions, I think those meetings that the Lions have is something that they value way more than previous regimes did.
Yeah, and I think it's something around the league that obviously teams do, but you're right. I don't think that they valued it as much before, and I'm glad they do now because it's like they're keeping up with the Joneses and they're setting the pace now. These meetings do matter. When we get to the combine, I'm always curious to see the measurables, you know, the height and weight of these guys, and then do you see the explosiveness in some of the drills that they run? I love the combine. Love the combine. But we got 2 weeks yet.
Yep.
Yeah, it sounds like the Lions the last couple of years with Holmes at the head of this, they really take into account those meetings more than maybe most teams in this league, more than the on the field, you know, running and jumping and all that stuff. Like, that stuff matters, but I feel like they're there for the meetings. Like, they want to see these guys up close and personal and talk to them, you know? And as far as losing players and free agency starting, Doug, I like Terrion Arnold. I don't think he's a bust at all by any means. I'm not as confident in him as you are, Gator. So I do feel getting a DB1 is important in case Terry Arnold is a DB2 in this league. So whether that's bringing back Carlton Davis or getting a guy like DJ Reed is important to me. A guy they also might lose to the Jets. You mentioned the Jets taking somebody, Levi Onwuzurike. They might lose Derek Barnes to the Jets as well. And he's a guy who's injured, and you think, oh, who wants an injured guy? Well, his former defensive coordinator might want that guy. So that's the guy I would look for, possibly leaving for the Jets. Otherwise, the Lions could probably get Barnes back. But Aaron Glenn likes himself some Derek Barnes, so we'll see what happens with him.
The other story with the Jets and with the league is the report over the weekend that Aaron Rodgers will not be invited back to the Jets, that he will be a free agent this offseason. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Aaron Rodgers, because his time in New York was not good. And he appears to be, I don't want to overstate the case, but does he appear to be a bit of a headache?
Yeah, you know, a little bit.
Is Aaron Rodgers have a home in the NFL next year? Is that 100% certainty that Aaron Rodgers has a home in the NFL next year?
If he wants to play, he does. I think there's enough teams out there that are looking for a quarterback where it would make sense. It could be some of these teams are going to be drafting a quarterback in one of their top picks, that maybe they'd like to have the insurance of having someone like Aaron Rodgers. The question is, does Aaron Rodgers want to go to a situation where they're not going to win right away? Because how many teams that are good quality teams in the NFL, teams you expect to be playoff bound, how many of those teams are looking for quarterbacks?
Not many.
He could do the funniest thing ever, guys. Remember I brought this up earlier this year? Take the Brett Favre route. Go to the Vikings.
He could, well, you know, that's the thing. I was thinking about this yesterday. That's the one team that I can see, if he wants to go to, where he could have success. And remember what Favre was like with the Vikings? He was incredible up until the playoff game. But his regular season in Vikings was great. We know what the Vikings have offensively. That's why Sam Darnold was able to be so good there, is because all the weapons there. But in the end, Sam Darnold was Sam Darnold. If you're the Vikings, it's a no-brainer to sign Aaron Rodgers to a one-year deal. You're not going to have to pay him $50 million. He's at the end of his career. But he'd be a better option for you than Sam Darnold would. He's just flat out better, even at his age. However, at his age, is he good enough?
I'm so damn glad that the Lions aren't in the market for a quarterback. I would not want to be a team, because wherever he signs, if he signs, I think it's going to be for an amount of money that isn't going to be worth it. Everything about him says his career is trending down. He doesn't seem to be the dedicated professional that he once was. You know, darkness retreats and trips to Egypt and cleanses instead of OTAs, probably not a great idea.
Well, if you're going to sign to a contract for 1 year or 2 years or whatever it is, I would imagine if you're a GM, you want those assurances that that's not going to happen.
Yep.
That you're going to be there. Now, you sign this contract, you're here for all the OTAs. You're here for all of minicamp. Any of that crap that you like to do is done on your time, not on our time. And don't do something that's going to get yourself suspended because you want to experiment with some new kind of drug that ends up being banned, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, this feels like everybody else's problem and not.
Yep.
Not
ours.
Not a Detroit problem. If you're in the market for a quarterback and you're considering Aaron Rodgers, good luck to you. But
hook him.
Not Detroit's. Not Detroit's issue. Champ and Chump, get your votes in for Champ and Chump of the weekend. 248-539-9797. Wonderful opportunity here in Detroit for a team. We'll get to that today at 12:45. We were talking about the NFL season and how we're on to the next season. Combine in 2 weeks, free agency a month from today. Pitchers and catchers report Wednesday for the Tigers.
That's just 2 days from now.
Woo-hoo! Still don't play games for a couple weeks, but we're going to start getting a lot of Tiger discussion, and there is reason to be optimistic. Bregman Watch, day 44. No updates. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1, the ticket.
All right, welcome in. 2 o'clock on a Monday. That's an oldie but a goodie, David. All right, so Super Bowl sucked, commercials were worse, and Tom Brady was the worst of all. All right, talk to everybody tomorrow. Rico?
Aha!
Aha!
There was one even worse than that.
Oh, yeah, halftime.
I forgot. Worse than that.
Why do we keep handing Terry Bradshaw the mic at the end of games? It's time to take the keys from Grandpa.
Yeah.
That's my mic until the trophy's presented.
You don't touch the mic. I'll hold it.
Yikes.
Okay, Terry.
So, all right, here's how I want to do it. Because let's face it, Rico, nobody wants to break the game down. There's nothing to break down. The Eagles lit a garbage can on fire and beat Kansas City to death with it. They did it with their front four. I know not that any Lion fans give a rip because, well, let Brad cook. But they didn't blitz one time. You're the fan base who's comfortable blitzing 50% of the time. Well, here's how you win a Super Bowl. You don't blitz. And your four can't be blocked by their five or six. So my question is, what did you take out of last night? Now, if you got half a brain rattling around your skull, it should be we need Myles Garrett. Or Micah Parsons, who the Cowboys are having internal discussions on. I swear I've been saying that for 3 months. Or Max Crosby or Trey Hendrickson. The bottom line is, here's your offseason plan. Yeah. And it ain't letting Brad cook so you can put the apron away. Get one of those four people, draft a D-tackle at 28, and then have Marcus Davenport back on a one-year prove-it deal for $15 and a taco. There's your offseason. Or keep doing the safe crap you want to do and get hit in the face by the Eagles next year because they're not going away. You choose. That's my takeaway. I got lots of takeaways, including, David, you and I got to have a question. Did anyone check with Jesus on the ad spend for last night? What are we doing?
We're spreading the good word.
Yeah, okay. At $24 million, newsflash, that's a lot for one soul. So look, let's get into this. Am I wrong in that was my take from the Super Bowl? That the Lions, who don't value the D-line, who don't prioritize it, who don't spend big money on it, like, they got to go all in and fix this, or they're not going to win a Super Bowl?
Mike, it was like you were at the little get-together I had for the Super Bowl. As a matter of fact,
I wasn't invited.
It was an impromptu thing. Founders Day. So, it was all my frat brothers came over.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah. So, but you actually did represent because you end up sending me. Nah, you can be white and be in the frat.
Go ahead.
You actually sent a text that was so timely as I was having a conversation with one of my line brothers. And I'm like, you have to make a deal and bring in somebody. No, he wanted to hold on to the picks because he was looking at the four-year plan. And I'm like, teams that are looking at the four-year plan are teams that constantly pick in the top 10 every single year. Go for it. If you swing, does it guarantee a Super Bowl? No, it doesn't guarantee a Super Bowl. But you put yourself in that category where yes, you're one of the teams. What Philly did was just a masterclass of this is what happens when you have four people that you can't stop. Rico. You can't double team. They will bring the heat. And oh, by the way, they will not blitz. But they will get to your quarterback six times. They will pressure him all game long. That's what they did. I'm with you as we got to get past Myles Garrett. It's kind of like the Bregman thing. Myles Garrett represents what I want, and that is a pass rusher. Now, it just so happens he wants out of Cleveland, but I like the fact there's other pass rushers you can go and get. You need to put somebody up there. And contrary to popular belief, yes, you can have that many defensive linemen, unlike what somebody said.
Aiden's comment gets more ridiculous the more I think about it, and the audio made it sound worse. But here's the other thing. The Eagles, like, look, is it going to be perfect? No. They spent $50 million on Bryce Huff. He didn't play last night.
Yeah.
It's weird. They spent on Saquon. They spent on Bryce Huff. They use all it. The cap's not real. So I don't want to hear about money. If you want to win a Super Bowl, here's four names that might be on the move. Might be Garrett, Parsons, Hendrickson, Crosby. Get one. Then here's the other problem. I hate to break this to you. The defense was fine without Aiden Hutchinson. Hate to break that to you. You know when the defense really fell off a cliff? Let me help you. When Aleem McNeil died. So my point to you is you need another D-tackle because Onzarike is going bye-bye and DJ Reader might be a cut. So why don't we draft a D-tackle at 28? Davenport back on a one-year deal for $5 and go get one of these war daddies and let's do this.
Well, you may have to give up that pick number 28.
Wah!
So you can't get the D tackle at 28.
If I get Crosby, or if I got Garrett, no.
Right.
Then I'll use my second round pick. I don't care.
Or I'm saying Parsons may come at that price as well. But I get what you're saying. For once, can we invest in the defense? Not, I know. You know, well, we took Aiden at two. Aiden fell in your lap. Okay. Anybody. Stevie Wonder could have picked David. Can we go out there and not get more offensive toys for Jared Goff? Can we go out there and draft somebody in the first round, not name, you know, the linebacker,
Jack Campbell?
Jack Campbell, yes. And actually, Nolan Smith was available, but you took Jack Campbell, but I digress. Can you invest in your defense?
By the way,
your defensive line, not secondary help like Terrion Arnold, but D tackle, rush edge.
Your guy this morning gave you some credit.
Who's that?
I think your boy Cookies is coming around to that Jalen Carter stuff we were selling.
Oh, he's not just a nose tackle?
No, I'm just saying.
Wow.
I'm just
saying. No.
He's coming around.
Mike, that's huge because Cookies gave me the hardest time. Like, are you serious? You could do so much. You could draft a nose tackle any play. I'm like, not him.
There's one person who gave you a heart attack. But we don't need to go there. 248-539-9797. You know what? I forgot. Kenny has his weekly sick day today. So David is screening. We will get to David momentarily. But I want your phone calls. And look, do I want to talk about the commercials? Sure I do. Do I want to talk about what a collagen-filled, dull robot Tom Brady is? Yep. Can we talk about the halftime show? Of course we can. But I wanted to know as Lion fans. You know, I also don't know what side of this they're on. Rico, I can't figure these people out. They go from not being able to watch the game to then saying they would have stomped the Chiefs. Well, one problem. Philly would have murdered you first. So I'm really not sure what we're even talking about.
Well, some just chose to watch Beauty and the Beast.
Got it. I know. Just because I'm not on social media doesn't mean people don't send it to me. You know what I want from the Lions for this offseason? Let me help you with this. No more villain sweatshirts, ski masks, podcasts, pithy social media, celebrity coaching, nothing. Nothing. Go to work.
And you'll understand this. You know what you need? You need Apollo Creed to show up and just say, yeah, you're gone to Hollywood. Let's go run on the beach. Let's go back to what used to make you, because you've veered away from when you were ferocious.
Problem is they think they're better than they are. That's the problem. If you really want to get down to it, and I think it's top down, reset. You may have a way you want to do it. Well, Howie Roseman is showing you the way you need to do it. Mm-hmm. It's time to get bold. So put the apron away and save your Brad cooking line. I don't want to hear it. I want to win a Super Bowl. And last night just reinforced it. The Eagles had the Giants game plan. The Eagles had the Buccaneer game plan. At each turn, Tom Brady's two Super Bowl losses. Patrick Mahomes' two Super Bowl losses. The true, like, Tyrannosaurus Rexes of quarterbacks. How do you take them down? The front four. That's it?
Yeah.
You can't fake it. So that's what we're going to do to start. And halftime sucked. The commercials.
Didn't like terrible. Sam Jackson? His Uncle Sam?
The whole thing was awful. Look, Kendrick Lamar is fine enough, but nobody knows his catalog. So you had 90% of America sounding like the character from Coming to America. What is this, Velvet? Nobody knew who the hell the guy is. He sang a song about Drake. Nobody knows his catalog.
No, I said, you know what? I've officially become my father, because the first three songs, I was like, okay, they all sound the same.
Oh, dear.
I'm like, I became my father.
Up next, Rico's turned into a 55-year-old white man.
Well, he was far from white, but yeah.
Hey, here's Rico during the performance.
Because I remember when I was growing up, and he was like, all your music sounds the same. I'm like, no, it doesn't. No, it's different. And I was like,
Coolio.
I was like, I'll be damned. I just became my old man tonight.
Jesus.
When do you have that moment when you're like, oh my God, I'm Big G?
Buddy, I have it every morning. Every day I wake up, I see things vastly different than the day prior. 248-539-9797. We will get with you, the people. We're going to start with the Super Bowl Lions style, get into some of the other particulars. We got a football today. We got a can we say that? Lots to do on a Monday. 97.1.
John, with the St. Brown stuff, should we play the audio for people to whet the appetite?
I think we should. They could stew on it over the update and just
form their opinion on like, dislike, too much, not enough. Where are we going with this?
This is from the St. Brown Bros podcast. See what would really happen if this team was healthy. He wants the Eagles week one. John, baked into this is a little trash talk. It's a little we would have beat you, and it's a little bit we're going to beat you. How do you feel about it?
I'm okay with the wanting to open the season with Philly. That's how everybody should actually feel. You want to, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. And right now, Philly is the best. I have absolutely no issue with that. The only issue I have, the cringe moment, and as we were listening to that, I don't know if you were, you know, looking over this direction, but it's cringy when he says anything about what would have happened in the NFC Championship game. That is, after watching Philly, and I think they were the sleeping giant, one that we didn't recognize throughout the course of the year, because you start looking back and saying, how is it that Philly did this to Kansas City? Some of it was Kansas City and an aging tight end, wide receivers that just weren't as effective. But I think we slept a little bit on what we were seeing from the Eagles. Now, they played their best game of the season, had not seen Philly, even going back and watching some of their games and seeing if what it is that I did miss, they played their best game in the biggest game of the year. The front four played a dominant game for Philly in the Super Bowl. I hadn't seen that type of production as an 11 on defense in any game that they played during the regular season or even against the Commanders or against the Rams in the playoffs. But having said that, I don't know that there's any... What makes us believe that if the Lions did beat the Commanders and they faced Philly in the NFC Championship game, and as it was pointed out, the injuries, that they would have won that game against Philly?
Hubris. That's what it is. And you got on me a little bit earlier in the show for this. Stop looking back, start looking ahead. That's right. The issue I have with it is anything looking back.
That's a great point.
Like, John, the Eagles won 16 of their last 17 football games. They had the number one defense in football. They won three of their four playoff games discoing by double digits. They actually walked the walk and backed it up. I don't feel like Lions fans can comfortably say we beat Philly if we're healthy. Philly was a different breed.
Whoa. If they're healthy, that's a different conversation. That we're starting to devolve into a mythical reality.
Yeah.
That wasn't going to happen. Even if they beat the Commanders, they weren't going to be healthy against Philly. So that argument, there's no point in having that argument. No,
but part of what St. Brown says is, well, you'll see what we look like when we're healthy. There's no guarantee you were beating them when healthy. And I think Lions fans may be hanging on to this like, no, you still have work to do. Philly's a juggernaut. Did we not just watch Philly run the gamut? I mean, again, they lost one game from October 1st on, and we're sitting here going, yeah, if we're healthy, we're kicking their ass.
I want to see a healthy Detroit Lions team play against Philly.
Me too.
That wasn't going to happen in the NFC Championship game. It can only happen next year, and we don't know if they're going to be healthy at that point. Lee McNeil probably not back.
Correct.
I think Aiden Hutchinson will be back, but how long does it take him to
week one? You don't know.
Be 100% comfortable out there playing. I mean, he could hit the ground running, but and you're going to get a lot of other guys back, but they're going to be two completely different teams next year.
I hope so. I mean, that's kind of the goal, right? Is that the Lions will get even better, and which is why I want to see the Eagles. Week one would be great. It'd be a good tone setter because you'd learn right away what moves did you make, how do you stack up, and if you lose, you have that as fuel the rest of the way. And if you win, it's a statement win the way it was a couple years ago when they beat Kansas City to open up the season. And they would go on to the NFC title that year. Like, I have no issue with St. Brown saying, bring on the best. We want to play the best. I don't think that's in poor form. Anything looking back, any woulda, coulda, shouldas, to me, we need to move past.
Yes. I don't like the coulda, woulda, shouldas. I like the look forward. I like the look into the future and the challenge of taking on the defending Super Bowl champs and making a statement to start the season next year. Using all of the shortcomings from this year, as we heard the previous year with Penei Sewell talking about how many times he watched that and how much it hurt to watch the NFC Championship game against San Francisco that they lost and how they lost it. I want to hear about the motivation moving forward. I don't really want to hear any mythical situations of, oh, well, if we had beat them and we were healthy, what would that have looked like in the NFC Championship game? even if, which you didn't, but even if you had beaten the Commanders, you weren't going to be healthy playing against the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC Championship. Now, it would have been at home. That's the only thing you could talk about. But again, I don't want to look back.
I know.
I want to look forward.
Yeah, to me, the Lions, as currently constructed, beating the Commanders would have lost to the Eagles. Now, you still say, hey, I want to play the game and see what happens because the Commanders pulled off an upset. Why couldn't Detroit? I understand. But the most likely outcome was Detroit loses to Philadelphia at Ford Field in the NFC title game. And I would go as far as to say, even if they were healthy, they would have lost to Philadelphia, which is why this offseason is so important for Brad Holmes. It's why it's so important to get these guys healthy and build off of it because they do need to be better. I think it's a flawed premise to just say, line up the helmets, get everybody healthy, and we're the best team in football. It flies in the face of what Philly just did this season. It completely disrespects what Philadelphia did this season. You have to respect your opponent. I think that humbling, I went through it personally with the double-digit disco. We all kind of collectively went through it as a show, and I think as a city, we all need to put that in perspective. There is work that needs to be done.
To me, again, I don't have it. If you want to talk trash about the game that you're going to play to start the season next year, have no problem with that. And if you want to talk about a healthy defense, and I'm not even going to sit there and say if they were healthy, they would have lost. We don't know, and it's pointless to even have that discussion. But to sit there and say that, you know, oh, well, if we had played this year and had been healthy, to me, it's just excuse making. And yes. You know who you're not going to hear it from?
Dan.
Dan Campbell. So for those, and I've heard this before, well, they're just, you know, repeating what they hear. I disagree with that 100%. Those players are not going to hear anything from Dan Campbell about, oh, well, we lost because of the injuries, or we lost because this, we didn't play well enough, we made mistakes. The Washington Commanders won the game.
This is such a great point. Dan Campbell didn't let injuries be excuses all season long. We'd sit there and go, but Dan, you're missing 8 guys here, 10 guys here, 13 guys.
We gave him plenty of opportunity to come up with an excuse.
And he's like, I don't care. You know, get your moldy bread and we're going to find a way. We're going to get humbled. We're going to work. We're going to work with who we've got. We've got enough. And they won 15 games. He's not going to make excuses. And he's also someone who I didn't think was over the top in terms of this, like, needing to be humbled. When they lost the NFC title game, he said, we just might not win. Like, I mean, he was very blunt and honest about the work that needs to be put in each and every year. I don't think he's someone who was looking past the Commanders or would look past the Eagles or felt like he got too big for his britches. I certainly didn't feel that way. I think they got outplayed, but I don't think it's because Dan Campbell looked at this team and gave this idea that they were guaranteed anything or promised anything. The way they coached and played all year indicated they knew not everything would be promised, and that started when they lost the NFC title game.
And when you look at, I think because of the phenomenon that Patrick Mahomes is and the way that he has performed and what the Kansas City Chiefs has done, this is not to take away from it. This is to add to it along with what Philly has done. They've been to the Super Bowl 3 times. They've won twice. And the one year that they didn't go, you know, last year, they lost both coordinators, didn't do a good job of hiring, now that one of those coordinators is down in Columbus, which is
hilarious.
Awesome. But they have been able to retool, rework, rebuild on the run and be a consistent winning franchise. I think it goes way under the radar of what they have done over the last 6-7 years.
Some ticket text. And we got open lines, 248-539-9797. Amon-Ra St. Brown on his podcast says we want to open the season with the Eagles. Great. You and I agree with him.
Yes.
But any of this implying like what would have happened if they faced in the NFC title or making amends for that. Guys, they weren't healthy, so it's a moot point. And even if they were, a ticket texter points out, injuries didn't make Goff turn the ball over 4 times. Like,
right.
Things are going to need to get better even if they are healthy because the Eagles are that good, whether we want to acknowledge that or not. Texter says, the amount of trash talk from a team that hasn't backed it up when it matters most shows me that this team is more bark than bite.
I'm not going to go that far. Like, okay, what's the other trash talk? Like, what is the other trash talk? We were doing a lot of trash talking, which has no impact on how the team plays.
Correct.
And, you know, we had to eat some crow.
Oh yeah.
And whether it was
still
the loss to Buffalo.
Out of my teeth.
I know. It was we were all in and way overconfident. But the trash talk that we had wasn't what was coming from the locker room, the players. This is the first time where it's been a cringe moment of something that you didn't earn. And it sounds to me like, first of all, you didn't earn the opportunity to play against the Eagles. You also are starting to make excuses for why you didn't.
I don't believe in this team going forward. Every team has a better defense than us, unfortunately. Noah Leem and Hutch with half a leg. St. Brown needs to stop embarrassing us on his podcast, Brandon and Sterling Heights.
I'm not going to go that far. I think this is still a really good team. It's still going to be one of the top three, four, five teams that everybody's going to be talking about to be in the Super Bowl next year. And I do think with Brad Holmes, utilizing the draft, utilizing trades, utilizing free agency, this is still going to be a team that has to be reckoned with.
Commanders cap space worries me. Yet another reason why that loss to San Francisco could haunt us forever.
That is the big concern, because if you just talk about Myles Garrett, who has the best odds of landing Myles Garrett outside of him staying in Cleveland? One of the teams is the Commanders, because they have the cap space to absorb it. They have capital. They have more capital to be able to offer.
Yep.
Cleveland than a lot of other teams, and they're one of a small group of teams. Plus, it's also a team where I think if Cleveland honors the request of Myles Garrett that says, I want to go to a playoff team, they're certainly fit the bill.
They do. I wouldn't mind playing the Eagles in week one. Super Bowl hangover. I think we match up well in the run game. It'd be a great game to kick off the NFL season. Tyler in a car.
I agree with that. I mean, I thought that when they were playing Kansas City.
Guys, Lions lost three games last year. All were at home. There's no guarantee just because the game was at Ford Field, they would have played Philadelphia and beat them last year.
Agree.
I fully agree. I love Amon-Ra, but some of his chirps and antics are getting old. The blue hair, the disparaging players drafted ahead of him, exhausting. I'm not there with St. Brown. I like the chip on his shoulder.
I do too. But I go out there and win. That's the bottom line. Go out there and win when it matters most.
Yeah. Did injuries make Goff turn the ball over? It wasn't just the injuries. You can't assume they were going to win anything. Have to put in the work. I agree with that to a T.
And that's why I don't even want to entertain an argument of if they had played in the NFC Championship game, because if they did, they weren't going to be at full strength. And honestly, neither was Philly.
Right. Well, they were healthier, but I understand your point. Lions regular season champs. How about zip your lips and stop choking? Stop talking. Start walking. So there is a little bit of that undercurrent. We want to hear from you guys on the phones. 248-539-9797. It's 97.1.
3 o'clock. Good to have you with us as Snowmageddon commences tonight. So we're going to do this, and Rico, unfortunately, in America in 2025, you have to offer a lot of disclaimers. Mm-hmm. So let me just say this. No one has advocated for the player I'm about to critique. No one has advocated for the team like the team I'm going to critique. This does not mean I don't like them or don't like this player. But when stupid things happen or I start to see a behavioral pattern, I think it's okay to talk about it. So if the tiny brains in the back can't handle it, go to Kids Bop. But the Detroit Lions and their players and some of you in the fan base are becoming very unlikable. Now, part of that happens when you begin winning. Well, the rest of the league doesn't like you. Except most of the league has kissed your ass. Your coach is a celebrity. Every player wants to play for him. Your team, everybody's rooting for us because, well, we've never won anything. But here's where it's gotten weird. Locally, there is just a behavioral pattern here, and I'm not comfortable with it. And it has become a little bit whiny, a little bit delusional. And yes, it ties into the discotheque. Yes, it ties into, I can't watch the Super Bowl. It's too painful. But we would have rolled the Chiefs. If we were healthy, .. It's like, no, that's the NFL. This is what you sign up for. And when you don't win a playoff game and you get hit with a Brinks truck by a rookie quarterback at home, nobody wants to hear it, especially when,
another reason you've become unlikable, is that you chastised and vilified anyone who merely gave the Commanders a chance. So the latest installment of this, and I'm telling you, I believe every bit of this, and I know David will agree with me because at the peak of his organization, they do it a certain way. The peak of my organization, they did it a certain way. Stop the talk. So now everyone's got a podcast. Amon Ross St. Brown, who I love, had a pod. I don't love what he said. And I can't play the audio because the audio is really not good. No. And it's not playable, guys, so I got to read it to you, okay?
Yeah, he mumbles a lot. Yeah.
It's just three sentences. Do you want to see the Lions play the Eagles in the first game? You could see what could have happened in the NFC Championship with a healthy defense and how that bleep operates. Amon Ra, you got beat by the Commanders. And second of all, whether your defense is healthy or not, you don't have a right to talk like that. Because the Eagles just won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They dismantled the Commanders, the team that beat you, and they dismantled the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Okay? You can think it. You can say it in your own house. Hell, you can talk in the locker room. You know what we don't need? We don't need it to be broadcast. You know what we don't need? Alex Anzalone saying, I'm not watching the Super Bowl. We're watching Beauty and the Beast. What? You know what? Here's the deal. Humble up. Because as good as the Lions were, you know what it turned out? They weren't the best team in the league. And they weren't close. And injuries aside, think about it. Look at your schedule. Look at who you played. Who did you really beat? Think about it now. Soulless Ginger twice. Jordan Love missing his groin? Who'd you play? Who was this gauntlet of a schedule? And when you go into the playoffs and you don't win a game, I don't want to hear anything. Much less, hey, man, if this and if that, and we want the team that just won the Super Bowl, and we'll show you what's up. You know what? Do me a favor. This is what I said the other day, Rico, and I meant every word of it. No more social media, no more podcasts, no more talk. Just the work. Mm-hmm. Go back into the lab. It's just the work. And I want players to believe they can beat Philly, but this has got to stop because the problem is the fans eat it up.
Yeah. Mike, the funny thing about the whole podcast was his brothers were kind of like, yes, the NFL, everybody gets hurt. No. We had all of these injuries. They're like, who? And so he goes and starts naming all of them, and he can't even remember them. And it's like, everybody gets hurt. Everybody has injuries at the end of the year. No team has all of their original 53 men on the roster playing for them. But you're right. It's the rallying cry. You know, the NFL needs to see this game. This is the game that was supposed to happen. This is what the people want. It's like, or you could have just won the game and given the people what they want. So, no. But he's like, yeah, they have to put us on that first game because
no,
this
they
is what's
don't.
Needed.
Look, bottom line in all of it is this. I want to know where you're at as a Lions fan, okay? Because I can't figure out which it is. Is it that you would have smoked the Chiefs even though you couldn't have beat the Eagles? Or is it now that, well, you'll just beat everyone because things weren't fair? Look, the injuries are what they are. They hurt you. You know, you didn't hear Philly cry when they lost N'Kobe Dean in the playoffs or when they lost Juergens and Dickerson in the NFC title game and they basically had Rico starting at center. It happens. Things happen. Yeah. You weren't the best team in the league. Because you know why? The best team in the league doesn't get orbital rammed by a rookie quarterback at home.
You know what, buddy? Right there. Because here's what happens. Here's what's going to happen. Let's just say you get to play the Eagles. You get Amon Ra and the Lions fans get their wish in week one. You play the Eagles. It'll be another year where you're a day late and a dollar short. Meaning, when you had an opportunity to beat the 49ers, you didn't. Oh, but wait till next year. We'll win that game and do what? Okay, that counts as one. You don't get anything other than that. Oh, okay, well, now we're going to play the Eagles. Okay, and you win that game and you get a victory. That's it.
My problem
there's no trophy.
Too,
there's no banners.
Rico, honestly, it's all of it. It's the ski masks. It's the villain sweatshirt. It's the we're going to rub it in your face trick play stuff. Oh, Cowboys and Dan Skipper, are we eligible now, bitch? And it's like, guys, no team in the league has talked more and won exactly nothing than you.
Yeah.
Like, you haven't even gotten to the Super Bowl, much less won it. This year, you showed your ass in the playoffs. Enough. I want to know where fans are at with it, because I think we're in the midst of a little bit of like a conversion with this team. The what-if stuff has to stop. The whole, oh man, if we just would have given Gibbs the ball more, think, stop. You just stop.
Brody, they are going to ride the whole, well, if we had a healthy defense, you know we would have won the Super Bowl. No, I don't think so. But
no, I'm just tired of it. And frankly, here's the thing. It's one thing for fans to be delusional, but I think when players start to act this way, look, I would like to see Dan Campbell kind of rein this thing in. He's a damn good coach, and they're a damn good team. But they're getting a little bit, you know, let me borrow a phrase from the midday show. May I?
Yeah.
Lions are getting a little bit chesty for my liking. Just a little bit over their skis. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to start talking the way they talk, you better be the Chiefs. You want to talk the way they talk, act the way they act, you better be the Patriots back in the day. Rings, mm-hmm. plural. You have so many rings, you start saying you have rangs.
Right.
Like, come on, man. And that's R-A-N-G-Z.
Right.
Rangs.
You need that, not a cake of you standing on top of your head at a bakery.
Yeah, and look, Rico, I'm not expecting it, nor do I care if this is a popular opinion, but it's a conversation I think we should have. Because what I'm not going to do all offseason is this. You lost. End. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares about the prologue. Nobody cares of what was fair and unfair. We talked it. We lived it. Mm-hmm. We talked after Aleem and Carlton Davis went down. Like, you got to stop. And the players have got to stop. The fans most certainly have got to stop. This should be a reality check. This league is hard. Mm-hmm. It's unforgiving. It's brutal. Fair is not a word that is used. Infuriating.
I'm with you. And it was, this is what the people deserve. They needed to see this game. It's like, or you could have just beat the Commanders and we would have saw the game.
Yeah, let me help you. Nobody cares that you lost. America does not care. The earth still spins. The sun still rises. Quote, you would have seen what could have happened in the NFC Championship with a healthy D and how that bleep operates. Yeah, well, guess what? When you let Jaden Daniels come into your house and sex you up, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing is because we were talking pre-show, and I think that's going to be the opening night game is the Eagles and the Commanders.
And
because
it won't right validate now, anything. It won't change anything.
No. It will. But
what?
I'll say this, and then we'll move on. Okay. But I think it will, because I think, let's just say Lions play the Eagles and beat them. It'll be the same thing as when they played the Chiefs week one and won. See, we could be Super Bowl champions. Because to a lot of people, you expected to get a ring after that game.
Every year's a new story, but whatever. But I'd like to know from fans. And again, I'm not asking for fan-on-fan warfare or fan-on-team warfare. Is it time for the Lions to kind of close ranks, circle the wagons, go into the lab, be about your business? Less talk, more walk. 248-539-9797.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.